Alrighty, it's 7 o'clock, so I call some meetings to order. We're gonna start as we always do with our attendance. Our attendance question for tonight is, what is your favorite part about fall?
I don't like fall because
winter is gonna come right after it, so it's just like myself.
Sweatshirt weather.
I think my favorite part is probably the cool breeze. It's not exactly cold yet, but.
I actually like being cold, so the fact that it is cooling down.
You got students?
I like just the changing leaves. It looks very pastoral, work outside.
Senator Hinan Kam?
Apple flavored everything.
Senator Anderson?
It's socially acceptable to drink hot drinks.
Senator Levins?
Halloween.
Senator Sela?
Sweatshirt and shorts weather.
Senator Haven? Senator Sauvé? Senator Martinez?
The sweaters.
Senator Miller?
Thanksgiving.
Senator Weeks. Senator Stout.
Holy.
Senator Heatherman.
Cross country season.
Senator Muganga.
The mixture of the hot, of the warm and cold weather.
Senator Yeager. Chair BK.
Walking with my dog.
Chair Ellsberg.
Tea.
J.L. Singh.
Speaker asked, every last warm day.
Senator Deeks.
How, when you go running, you're not like overly hot.
Mm-hmm. J.L. Svensson.
Deliberately stepping on crunchy leaves
everywhere. Rachel Miller.
Hot chocolate.
Controller Johnson.
Finally, it appears to be sure we're not sweating.
Fireman Devian Ganigo.
Going to the top, third story old man looking down the hill at all the changing leaves.
Okay. Homeless person Johnson.
My wardrobe is comprised of almost completely neutral tones, including 9 gray sweaters. So this is the time when my wardrobe is the most versatile.
I really like the changing colors, and I like soccer season, and I like NFL football.
Football and the fall colors.
The fun challenge of figuring out how to dress when nights get to 35 and days get to like 75.
President Rasmussen.
I just like that cool, crisp weather. And Mr. Director Gabriano.
And Jonas.
I like riding my horse in the fall because of the crunching leaves and the sound of his hooves when he's crunching through the leaves. It's quite lovely.
Okay. My name is Chair Schmidt.
Welcome by.
With that, we have a quorum, so we'll move on to the approval of minutes from last week. Do we have any issues with the minutes from last week? Amendments to the minutes? Amendments to the minutes? Amendments to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we'll move on to community comment. Do we have a meeting committee who wishes a comment? Community comment? Community comment? Seeing none, we'll move to committee updates. Before we get to this, I just have a quick, before we get to our order of business. I have a point of parliamentary procedure that I apologize I messed up on last week, and it might come up later, so that's why I want to bring it up now. When somebody calls for a roll call vote or a ballot vote, last week we had a discussion on that. That was a mistake. We will have a vote on that, a simple majority, quick vote, with no discussion, just to decide on whether or not there will be a ballot vote or a roll call vote. That's just to kind of keep in check from one person, or to keep somebody from just keep doing it, just to kind of be a pain. So, that down or forward. So with that, we'll move to committee updates, and we'll start with technology.
Begun investigating the possibility for a memorial for TJ and other recently deceased professors. And what has been known about that so far? We're in the process of contacting Lafaro, who is the chair of the math department, in an effort to figure out if they already have something in mind or if they have anything planned already. in regards to the fair trade resolution or statement exploration, we are in the midst of that. I met the president of the Fair Trade Club today to touch base and see what they're working on. And I have another meeting scheduled for later this week with Reverend Conkle and the president of the Fair Trade Club. We also have, we're very fortunate to have one of our senators is also on an action committee for curriculum. So we have the opportunity to come up with sort of an idea of what we as a committee might want to see the new liberal arts perspective curriculum become in the next, I don't know, 5 years or so. So we're gonna throw out some ideas related to that and come up with some sort of proposal that can be brought to that board. Other concerns have been dealt with that were just small one-time basis kind of things, and some will occur later calendar date-wise. So as far as previous tasks that were already discussed or left over from last year, we had the potential for more major specific J terms and a diversity requirement, and both of those are kind of on hold right now as there's going to be likely an overhaul of the curriculum. So that's where we're at.
Do we have any questions for our chairperson? Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to ethics.
Ethics has been dealing a lot with just language and certain charges that have been brought to us. We're going to start looking into the constitutional amendment that was voted down and charged to ethics committee to look through and to look on. The minutes got published. I was personally waiting for minutes in order to make sure that I, who wasn't here during the whole discussion, made sure that all of the points the different senators made heard, just to make sure that we had an idea of why the Constitution discussion went the way it went. And then there are some other charges coming out that will be spoken on tonight.
Do we have any questions for ethics chair? Questions? Questions? None? That wraps up our committee updates for today, so we'll move on to unfinished business. The first order of business now, I will be speaking on behalf of our Health and Housing Committee. Last week we talked about hydration station survey, got charged with the committee, and we have a little bit of an update on hydration stations. Simply because I had worked with Physical Plant in the past, I emailed Todd Block at Physical Plant after our meeting last week to ask about the hydration station that was supposed to go into North Hall this past summer. And they just ran out of time last summer. It's still going to go in. They just don't know when the timeline is. And then when Todd emailed me back, he said, hey, by the way, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be putting in the hydration station in Sorey Hall. And I did a little bit of emailing back and forth with him. And he said simply, they are, instead of spending more money on old drinking fountains that aren't really getting used and are breaking the law and it's hard to get parts for, physical plant has assigned us, instead of spending money on taking those out and putting in the hydration stations, so you're putting one in Sawyer Hall and in kind of the main entryway. So in discussion last week with Cabinet, we talked a lot about the survey and it was charged to the committee. At this time, with the information we've been given, it seems like physical plant is kind of taking the role upon themselves to start getting more of these hydration stations. So Kevin kind of had this talk about what we could benefit from out of the survey, it's the right time for a survey, what a survey should entail. Normally this is something that would come in kind of a committee conversation, but since it was charged to the committee to come up with a survey, we wanted to get a little bit more feedback from the floor and see if the survey is right at this time or if there's a certain thing that we should be looking for in that. So with that, I'm just going to open up the floor for any discussion on the hydration station survey. If anybody has any input this time.
In light of these recent developments, to be honest with you, I don't see necessarily the need of a survey. Just as it seems to me that the college is taking it upon themselves to install them, especially for example in North and Surrey. So I don't know if there's really a need at this point for one. Would it be the worst thing either? No, but I just feel like it ended up being really redundant just to be telling them, hey, we want them, and they're saying, yeah, we know, we're putting them in for you. So, I don't know, those are just a little bit of my thoughts, but
I think a survey of the entire student body does seem excessive, but I think there might be some interest in sending out a survey to the dorm halls that lack and see the kind of response there about interest in those, right? So pick every hall that has a student that doesn't have one and be like, hey, is this something you'd like to see if we need to push, make a statement to the plan, say, hey, this hall really, really wants one. You know, maybe put them up next on the block or something. Just so we can help guide their decisions, as they probably don't have to wait to inform where we're liking the most.
Senator Bloom?
I would agree with the previous speaker in saying that a survey could be beneficial to residents that don't currently have one. Not actually because we would be taking action over the college that's already taken action, but we would possibly be able to supply the college with information to prioritize certain res halls who seem to have generated a larger interest in the hydration stations than per se other ones. Are you?
So information is great, and I agree with previous speakers, but something discussed in cabinet was that there's a way that physical plant has to decide which ones to put in first, simply based on ease of access, because like some of the hydration stations can't go in as quickly as others can because of the access, you know, water pipes and having to tear down other stuff to put new things in. So that's something that they're also considering. So whereas information would be helpful, or could be helpful, it might not necessarily support the decision.
Referring to a previous speaker, I don't recall this being a discussion of who gets it first, whether or not these results actually get them, not specifically people who are ideal.
Do we have any further discussion?
I think it might be helpful if you go over what the sub options are right now.
I move to reconsider the motion.
We have a motion to reconsider decision for the charge made last week. We have a second, Senator Joseph, Senator Hennekamp. So this motion to reconsider has to be done by somebody who voted in the affirmative to make a motion. So correct you last week.
I did.
Okay. So do we need a vote to reconsider? So we'll need a simple majority vote on whether or not we want to reconsider, or you want to reconsider the charge from last week. So we'll have discussion before a vote on that. So open the floor for discussion. Senator Gosch, you have the floor.
I think just listening to what other senators were saying, it's pretty clear that we want to modify this, and to do an all-round campus survey would be excessive. I'm not exactly sure where the Senate would like to move forward, but it's clear that we want to move to something else. So I think it's clear that we should reconsider this motion.
Senator Anthony?
For the previous speaker, I'd like to ask, is it being suggested that we simply scrap the survey or change it?
You'll do the floor.
Yes.
I'm really not suggesting anything specific. I just realized that there was a need for change here. I'm not sure exactly where I would prefer them to take it, but I think that's something that the rest of the body can discuss as well. I'm not looking at anything specific.
Senator Martinez? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Senator Anthony just said before.
Okay, I think the survey to the whole student body would be great, because I know that our co-ed already has one, but I know that a lot of our constituents are really like pushing forward to getting at least one more, because they're kind of like tired from going through
all the way to first floor.
From like fifth floor, like fourth floor to like the first floor.
Yeah.
So I think that like the student body survey would probably be better, and like it would probably help them realize too that like they might have some of them, they need more. I yield.
Discussion on the motion to reconsider? Any other discussion?
Going off what you just said, I think if we are going to target specific parts of campus, specific rents already, focusing on the dorms that don't have sinks easily accessible in their rooms is going to be pretty important.
Any further discussion on the motion? Further discussion? Seeing none, we will vote on the motion to reconsider. So just to explain this a little bit, if this vote passes, we will re-enter a discussion that happened last week on whether or not to charge the committee with the survey. And if this vote does not pass, then discussion will end and the committee will just go on as previously.
The motion
planned.
Stands.
Right. So all those in favor of reconsidering the charge, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes. So we will open discussion on motion to charge the committee, which we talked about last week, on simply bringing a survey to student body asking about interest in hydration stations on campus.
I think I do.
Yeah. You made the motion.
Yes.
Once again, I really don't have any very strong opinions on this, so I'd like to hear what other people have to say. Are you
on? You're sweet.
This is a question for the chair. Did physical plant like give you like a timeline or anything, or is it just like kind of as things phase out, they're just like
So the email, I kind of asked him, it was a relatively short discussion, but he sent me that sort of one is going to go in likely within the next week or so. And then he said, when he had talked about their decision, how they made this decision, that those conversations are likely to happen again in the near future, is what he said.
Okay.
So with our charge from last week, I said I'd just stop the conversation with that and see if we had any further needs.
Yeah. I think I would just urge whoever makes the motion to be very careful in their wording, just because it can be kind of exclusionary too. And so I just think that a lot of what needs to happen needs to be the discretion of the chair and the co-presidents and her committee. And so just kind of keeping the motion more open than not. Yeah, general, thank you. Yep.
So quick to be clear, we right now we're in this, like basically the same exact discussion that we're having last week. Right now we are in a motion to charge Health and Housing Committee into sending out a survey about hydration stations.
Oh.
So the motion is on the floor like it was last week. We're just back in the conversation. Senator Maganga?
Well, speaking on behalf of SORI, the survey was carried out with the help of the SORI whole council. just for soaring, and it was approved by most of the residents. And so, on behalf of Sori, it is, and also hearing from what you said, the plant manager, he approved that it will be Sori within a couple of weeks. I think on behalf of Sori, we're satisfied. So right now, I think maybe I want to know if I would also suggest that we support for other dorms which don't have the water refill stations.
I you.
Senator Hemkamp?
So in light of trying to make this more of an open charge, I would move to amend the motion to read that Health and Housing should look into the issue of hydration stations and come back to Student Senate with a recommendation on how to proceed within the next, well, actually we have fall break, so within the next month, I guess.
Second goes to Speaker Sweet. So we have a motion to amend the motion to simply look into the issue and come back with a recommendation to Student Senate. You still have the floor.
Yeah, and so this, what I mean by this is I'm not trying to throw away the motion entirely. I would just rather have Health and Housing in conjunction with committees and other people that we can look into as a committee, look into the hydration stations, how we would like to proceed, if there is a survey, if there isn't a survey, and then we can come back to the Student Senate floor and say, okay, well, as a committee, we believe this, and maybe bring forth a different motion later. This is just a kind of like, look into this a little deeper than we could otherwise.
Do we have any more discussion on the amendment motion? Further discussion? Seeing none, we will vote on the amendment to change the charge to simply looking into the issue of hydration stations and coming back to Student Senate with a recommendation.
With a recommendation within a month.
Within a month.
Since we have quite a few.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes. So we'll return back to discussion, and we're now discussing the motion as amended. You still have the floor, Ken?
I yield.
Do we have any more discussion on the motion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote on whether or not to charge Health and Housing Committee and to look into hydration station situation and come back to Student Senate with a recommendation on action plan within 1 month. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? So charged. So that ends that discussion. We have no further unfinished business. Open up the floor. Do we have any further unfinished business? More unfinished business? Unfinished business? Seeing none. Move on to new business. And first in new business is Ethics Committee is bringing forward the disciplinary action tonight. This is something that hasn't happened in the past 3.5 years of my time here, and nobody has ever gone through this except Jonas has. So
I'm disciplined regularly.
So to kind of explain what's going on, the Ethics Committee is able to bring forward disciplinary actions on different senators throughout the year when complaints come to the Ethics Committee. There's a number of different levels of actions that can be taken. Tonight there's going to be a censor brought forward, and I'm just going to run this like any other regular motion. It's going to come to the floor as a motion. I'm going to let Ethics Committee present the situation. It was encouraged by them that that there is a statement from the Elections Committee, which is the involved party, and then I will open up the floor for simply just questions to any of the three parties, and then we'll have discussion and vote. So with that, I'll turn over to our next chair.
All right, so this is an issue that arose actually technically before anyone was, had any senators were voted into the body. The issue came up when a member of the election committee, who was a student at large, decided to resign from her position as the student at large, one of the students at large on our election committee and run for the class of 2016 representative. Speaker Sweet was then fortunate enough to be elected into that position, and then is now currently the speaker for the Senate. It was charged to ethics to look into the issue of whether or not there was a constitutional violation of a student at large from a committee stepping, or the student at large on the election committee stepping, not formally resigning from their position, and then running for a Senate position within the same election. When this came to ethics, the main discussion was, a couple of points that were discussed was the level of which it was necessary to carry out actions, whether or not it was necessary to carry out actions, and what the charges were about. Ethics decided that it was an issue that needed to be brought up because of the issue of it being a problem within our Constitution. It was decided to be a censure in the way that it is our version of a disciplinary action that is voted on and endorsed by the Senate body, seeing as this is something that could potentially set a precedent in how we determine this. And we thought it was an issue that needed to be discussed by Senate just because of the potential repercussions for the situation and the actions taken. We decided that the charge would be that there would be the censure of the current Speaker Sweet for not formally resigning from her election committee position before she was seeking election to the Senate position. The definition of a student at large is any student not currently holding or seeking election to a Senate position. The Senate body is the body representing all students, also known as Student Senate, and the resignation comes, I'm sorry, all this is in Article 1, the definitions are in Article 1, the resignation is Article 4, in which it states resignation. In order to resign, a member of Senate shall submit a letter in writing or via email to the administrative director, who will announce the resignation at the end of the next Senate meeting. All resignations shall take effect immediately. Another thing that was discussed was whether or not a student at large is a member of Senate, and we decided that our understanding of as ethics of the Constitution and our interpretation by ethics committee was that a student at large was a part of is considered a member of Senate, being as they serve on the election committee as a student at large. It is a formal position that is written out in our Constitution. The issue behind not just the formal reprimand was that that was just kind of the written ethical issue. There was the discussion of just, moreover, a moral ethical issue, and we want to say that we do not think that Speaker Sweet gained any advantage in the election or deliberately framed the situation to her advantage. This was something where it was just an action done. It was nothing that was premeditated, we felt that it was something that was necessary to bring up in Senate, though, and have a discussion on it because of the potential implications and the precedent that could be set because of the situation.
So, to be clear, the censure is being brought forward for the member not formally resigning from her elections committee position before choosing to run her position, correct?
Yes.
I just wanted to let you state it so we can remain germane, hopefully, in this conversation. As I stated, it was asked of the elections committee by the current ethics committee that we present a statement on this case, and at that time, just so you know, the elections committee during the fall is made up of the two co-presidents, the ombudsperson, and two student at-larges. So, co-president Panzer is going to present our statement.
That's correct. So, speaking on primarily mine and co-president Rasmussen's behalf, the elections committee, to speak there, was the core was certainly us three. We were leading the logistics in conjunction with the technologies director, and then looking for students at large to give us some insight on how to run elections. So first off, I want to question two components of this recommendation from ethics. First, I want to question the need for a formal censure, and then second, I want to question the choice of Chair Sweet Speaker Sweet as the target of that censure. So back to the need for a formal censure. As the ombudsperson stated, no harm was done in this case, and there is certainly not a clear statement from the bylaws or constitution that would have realistically prevented this harm from being done. We feel that there is some gray area in whether or not a student at large is a member of Senate based on the definition in Article 1. There's certainly disagreement between members of cabinet, co-president, the ombudsperson. So again, this is really primarily speaking from the perspective of co-president Rasmussen and myself. And this issue is just a result of the logistical reality of how fall elections were handled. Just the short timeline. We needed to get these done so we have a Senate. We needed to be focused on setting up the technology piece, recruiting, and just to have a student at large, like very hands-on, like have these formal meetings, just wouldn't have been feasible in just the reality of how elections are carried out. And we reached out to Speaker Sweet, now Speaker Sweet, only because of her Senate experience. She's one of the most experienced student Senate and proven members of student Senate on the campus. And at that time, we knew she wasn't going to run. It started out, the sole issue we talked to Speaker Sweet about was the use of class Facebook pages for campaigning. That was the one conversation we had with her as a student at large. And I believe it might have been like in the middle or at the end of that conversation was when I issued a very informal invitation to be the student at large. And then a few hours later, maybe the next day, she had decided to run. So there was a gap of time there at that point in which I formally requested or informally requested her input on how we were carrying out elections. She was not planning on running. No formal application for students at large was issued. No formal invitation was offered, and therefore no formal resignation would have made any sense here. This just wasn't a formal process for this election just because of the logistical reality of what we needed to do to get Senate rolling. So we had the job to figure that out. So that's on us. If there's an issue here, that's not on Speaker Sweet, who nobly volunteered her input as a former member of Senate to help us out with running elections. That's not on her. This is the second point. Second issue tonight I want to question is the choice of Speaker Sweet as the target of that censure. It's our fault. It's the co-presidents and the ombudsperson. To be honest, I strongly disagree with ethics' decision to target a senator who gained nothing for this minor kerfuffle, and which is all the result of the elections committee. So that all being said, we have a few recommendations here for Senate to move forward. If we can modify this to be an informal reprimand or to change the target to us, we would certainly do that. But because this is coming from ethics committee, this can't be modified in that way. So unfortunately, our only real course of action here is basically for you to vote it down and for ethics committee to consider other action. So that's our recommendation as co-presidents. And again, we wish it could be modified to come at us, and perhaps it's an option that can be taken in the future. But we think that there's no constitutional basis, and that this is just morally wrong to come after a member of Senate who volunteered their time, gained nothing, had no cause to believe that she's doing anything wrong, and that there's no mechanism to prevent this alleged wrongdoing from happening. So that all being said, we're strongly opposed to this recommendation. But it is, of course, the right of the body to proceed as they wish, and the co-presidents obviously should not be dictating disciplinary procedures. But those are that's our background, and those are our recommendations. With that, I yield.
Okay, with that, we'll move forward to on Speaker Sweet to say anything.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So, first, I want to start by saying that I wasn't at the Ethics Committee meeting where they talked about this, so I have no input on the matter. And Chair Panzer kind of said it all. So yeah, I was sitting in the courtyard and Chair Panzer came up to me and we were just talking about the election and stuff. And he's like, would you ever consider being student arts and election committee, I was like, yeah, maybe. And then literally an hour later, I went and I like texted you or something or saw you, and I was like, actually, I decided to run. Like, if I'm going to be involved in Senate, I may as well go gung-ho about it. And the fact that the turnaround was in an hour, like, I had no access to anything. And, yeah, it was just a decision on my part to want to dedicate more of my time to Senate. This in no way breaks any bylaw or has any, yeah, or constitution or anything. And it's not an ethical matter either. I made a choice for myself. It had no effect on this body, had no effect on the election. So,
okay, so now I'll open up the floor for simply questions directed at either the elections committee at that time, so the three of us, the current ethics committee, or Speaker Sweet. Simply questions. Senator Gladish.
Okay, I have a few questions. The first one will be towards the election committee, whoever can answer the question. Did Delaney ever have access to the other candidates' applications?
No, she did not.
Did Delaney ever have access to the online voting system?
No, she did not.
And this is probably more towards anybody in the ethics committee that could answer this. And could you point out the section of the Constitution or bylaws or states Delaney was required to submit a formal resignation?
Yes, that is. We, from ethics interpretation of the Constitution and the bylaws, which is part of our job, it is Article 4, Section 2, resignation. It says, in order to resign, a member of Senate shall submit a letter in writing or via email to the administrative director, who will announce the resignation at the next full Senate meeting. All resignations shall take effect immediately.
Yield the floor.
I'm sorry, you yield the floor?
I yield the floor.
Senator Dix?
My first question is to Speaker Sweet. Did you or did you not accept the position of student at large on the Elections Committee?
Yes, verbally, yes. Yeah.
All right. Do you recall that exact?
Yes, there's a verbal request to see if she would. Yep.
And that was the standard for selecting students at large at the time?
Yes. Again, just given the logistical timeline, we weren't having full-fledged meetings, so this is just how we were supposed to see him.
But along that line, that is, at that point in time, the method of how you select a student at large?
At that point in time, yes.
Okay.
And there, sorry, that's, yeah.
All right. And then did you ever receive an informal resignation from Speaker Sweet accepting her application as not being an informal resignation?
I want to let Speaker Sweet back me up or challenge me on this, but I believe that after she, when she told me that she was submitting her application, she said, so I can't be on Elections Committee. So in my mind, the invitation and the resignation were equally informal. I think there's a problem with that, but to the point of censure.
Senator Bourdonnan, but Speaker Sweet, did you personally gain anything or in any way by this informal position or stepping down in this informal fashion?
No.
I yield.
Senator Andrews?
Yes, I have a question for Ethics Committee. Given the premise of how this student large application took place as a present conversation between currently Speaker Sweet and President Co-President Panzer, how exactly did you know that this happened?
Can you rephrase? Do you mean the fact that it was known that she had accepted the position as student at large and then resigned? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, so that would just be over the fact that Election Committee was in constant contact, so we would just text each other and tell each other what was going on. Co-President Rasmussen?
I would say after all the Senate elections were completed, one of the senators asked who were the student at larges, and at which time they told him or her these two students, and then that's where the senator found out about the concern to the Levy Committee.
Thank you, I misunderstood the question.
Thank you. Thank you. Myself. I just one question for the Ethics Committee. If I remember right, you had said that Speaker Sweet was considered a part of Student Senate at that point in time because she was on a committee, correct?
Yes.
So I'm looking through the Constitution. Could you point out in Article 3 where it has the composition of Student Senate, where committees are considered part of Student Senate?
Are you in reference?
Article 3, composition of Student Senate.
The Senate shall be composed of members who shall carry out the duties described in the bylaws. There is nothing that references the committees, no. There.
No? Okay.
There is nothing in reference to committees in that section.
Thank you. Jonas?
Well, I greatly appreciate your earnestness with which you are all engaging in this conversation. I also feel like there's a little bit of like, dude, really? Come on. And in 5 years of advising the Senate this time around, I can't honestly think, maybe one of the other senators could come up with an example, but I can't honestly think of anyone who's resigned from any standing or open student committee appointment in the time that I've been on Senate. Like, I don't think that Joe Thayer resigned from whatever position he sat on. I just can't think of anybody who's ever resigned. So I just caution you to get too hung up. Maybe it's a problem that you need to fix, but I don't know that it's, I'm not quite as convinced that you need to kill each other over it. Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm happy to.
Great respect you as our advisor and appreciate the statement. This is a time for questioning.
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't a question. Thank you.
If it was a time for statement, I would prefer to be able to rebut to that. I will
continue
doing that. So as this is the time for questioning.
Well taken. Thank you.
Speaker Sweet.
Is maybe more a question from the chair, but technically we didn't have an administrative director at the time of the election. Our administrative director is a meeting. Therefore, my resignation could have been seen as formal because I went to the election committee, I went to the chairs, and they were the people that I should have formally resigned to. But,
Senator Anderson?
I guess my question is probably aimed towards ethics, but is there anything that, like, because she had to fill out this application. And so if someone at that point had said, well, she can't run because she's on ethics, could you have stopped her from running?
Do you
understand
the question? If,
can
you rephrase
that,
please?
Yeah.
Do you mean
election
committee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Can you say it one more time, please?
Could you have not put her on the ballot in the first place because it was inappropriate for her to be running?
I resigned by the time that I turned my application in. So that wouldn't have been a problem anyway, but I don't know what.
Right, but I think the question is whether or not you formally resigned. And so if you were considering her still a formal member of your committee, could you have just not put her on the ballot? So there's nothing there. I'm just wondering if there's something that
Oh, are you talking about, like,
yes.
Is there something that says that, election committee has the power to say, no, you can't be on the ballot?
Because
that
it's unethical, yeah.
I think you're questioning the actions of the committee rather than the person, Speaker Sweet, being discussed right now, so I'm going to say that's not germane. Any further questions?
No.
Senator
Lee? So, our main concern was that there's a flaw within the bylaws and the Constitution. We're not trying to target anyone in any way, but we're trying to show that some people might have an interest, not necessarily someone did get an interest out of it, and there's just a flaw in the Constitution that needs to be fixed, and nobody should be able to use that, despite the fact someone used that on that.
I'm sorry, do you have a question?
I mean, my question will be to the speaker suite. Did you gain any benefits, or you think you gained any benefits
no,
from
this
it?
This is the third time I've answered this question.
No,
so
that's it.
I have a question for ethics committee. So if you're trying to change a bylaw, why are you trying to put the informal censure? Just like let me explain myself a little bit. Like you shouldn't use cases to make an example out of something. And so if you're trying to change a bylaw, then change the bylaw and say that this is why we're doing it, because the next thing we're doing is the next thing we're doing is creating a bylaw for this.
So from your question, the reason why this was brought forward was because from ethics understanding of the Constitution, the problem was that there was no formal resignation submitted at the time, which led to the issue that was brought up, which was brought to ethics to look into, and the only thing that ethics saw as an issue was the issue of a formal resignation. It would be the same for, I don't want you to think that you're being targeted in this. It wasn't meant to target you. I know that it is directed at you, but I feel like the word target makes it seem so, and that's not the goal of ethics in any of this. It's not to target it. The job of ethics is to interpret the Constitution when an issue arises, and then we are to bring forth what actions we think need to be taken or what actions aren't taken when the issue arises. This is an issue that was brought up in ethics. We thought could potentially set a precedent in whatever is decided, and we thought that it was something that was necessary to hear everyone's opinions on, rather than just the opinions of five people, or seven students who are members of Senate who all agreed on this, unanimously agreed that this was the direction that we should take this, but that was why it was brought here. There was also the discussion of informal reprimand, because there was no, like you said, you do not believe that anything was gained from it. So there was the discussion of informal reprimand, but then in that case, nothing would be said to Senate. Nothing would be discussed about any sort of precedent that we were setting, and we felt that that was unwise in the way that this is something that can have an effect on future Senate.
Do we have any further questions for the committee's members? Further questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to discussion. And this will be just like any regular motion. Right now there's a motion on the floor from the Ethics Committee to censor Speaker Sweet. And then the vote will be a simple majority once discussion is done. So first we have Senator Hancock.
So I'm going to tread very lightly here. From my perspective, and from what I believe my constituents' perspective would be, is that this is not something that necessarily needs to be censured. Was there some shady gray area here? Perhaps. But in my opinion, it's not a reason for a censure. I do call into question some of the definitions we've been throwing around, especially student at large, as I see Senate as a representative body, and a student at large is not necessarily representing anyone besides him or herself. So I question their role as a student senator. Likewise, the informal nature of this entire exchange leads me to believe that the informal resignation was enough, especially as we have now been made privy to, that there was no administrative director in the first place to give a formal resignation to. I mean, I guess she could send it to a general, anyway. So honestly, I cannot see any ground to censure our esteemed speaker, who in my opinion we are graced with on the Senate. Sorry if that was germane. But I would just like to caution people as to when, yes, there is a problem, of course, let's look into it. But I think this action is rash. This action is not pointed at the right people, as well as I believe that this should be voted down in the gentlest, because I don't believe Ethics Committee necessarily did anything wrong. I just believe that there is a miscommunication and a misappropriation. So I yield.
Co-President Panzer?
One of the parts of the questioning discussions that we had were that a major intent of this is to raise the issue. The issue has been raised, so I appreciate that, and there will be some changes generators that are discussed out of this. But I also just want to, again, state that I think the center is not the correct course of action. I also just want to walk down one track of reasoning here briefly, so I can just verbalize this so you don't need to be flipping back and forth. So in the resignation in Article 4, Section 2, in order to resign a member of Senate, so a member of Senate is the only topic of the resignation part of the Constitution, so member of Senate, resignation, those two, like that, it doesn't talk about any other non-member of the Senate. And then looking at the definitions, a member is defined as a student elected or appointed to any Senate position. So a member and then a Senate position are then linked. And then in student at large, it says any student not currently holding or seeking election to a Senate position. So I think that, so student at large is defined as not interested in a Senate position, and then a member is linked to a Senate position, and then a resignation needs to be from a member. So if that makes any sense, there's no reason for a student at large to be submitting a resignation because they are not defined as a member of Senate. So just one kind of course of like three different areas you can look in the box between to see how it can be interpreted. But to me, that seems very clear. Students at large do not need to resign. I yield.
Senator Sella?
All right. So coming from my constituent's perspective as best as possible, Speaker Sweet has already told us that she did not gain any unfair advantage from being on the Elections Committee, and the senior class chose Speaker Sweet as the right person for the job. Therefore, I don't think that we should censure, because if we're best representing our constituents, the seniors chose her, and if I don't think it's reasonable, then I will move the floor.
Senator Gladish?
I think I'm going to end up rehashing some of what President Panzer said, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, so I will admit that that the Constitution does talk about resignation. A good example of that is Article 3, Section 3, quote, the co-presidents-elect must resign from any other Senate positions unless they are a current co-president. And then later, resignation is defined in Article 4, Section 2, which co-president Panzer said. In order to resign, a member of Senate shall submit a letter in writing or by email to the administrative director, which is also important, who will announce the resignation at the next full Senate meeting. All resignations shall take effect immediately. That only refers to a member of Senate, and a student at large is not a member of Senate, because if you look in Article 1 and look at number 9 there, it says a student at large, any student not currently holding or seeking an election to a Senate position. And if you look at the definition of a member, a student constitutionally elected by the student body or appointed to any Senate position. So those are two separate entities. And it only refers to, when it talks about resignation, it only refers to members of Senate, which, if you look at the definitions, which are unnegotiable, a student at large is not a member. And so they aren't required to resign. And as I mentioned earlier, and Speaker Sweet mentioned earlier, there was no administrative director, so there couldn't have been, she couldn't have formally resigned to anybody by required by the Constitution, even if you think she was a member of Senate, which she wasn't. I yield the floor.
Senator Louie?
I guess I will also be repeating a few of the sentiments. There was no way to facilitate a formal resignation at the time. I do believe that this might be a shortcoming of our constitution and therefore be necessary of a bylaw, which looks like it's is next on the docket, which is super cool. That being said, a student approach or being approached and accepting an informal position out of the goodness of her heart to help benefit the student body as a whole, not themselves, in this case herself, and not gaining anything from them informally stepping down and taking elected position that she was fairly elected into, deserves punishment. I feel like that is something that, if there were a reward system, might be merited, but that not existing definitely does not deserve censure. I yield.
Senator Dix?
All right. A lot of things have been brought up at this point in time. I apologize if I do not respond to all that I mean to respond to. To start off, first, I must speak to the nature of ethics. We must deal in the formal, and it is defined as a formal position within the Constitution. It is a position with a definition that should be, even if chosen informally, must be treated as formal as it is in here. So when we talk about the informal nature of selection, that does not mean that it is an informal position, which, as much as the intent may or may not be to change that, that is not as it stands, and we can't deal in assumed quantities. Secondarily, if a student at large is not held to be a portion of student senate, we have an even larger issue, and that we can only govern ourselves with these documents. We have no jurisdiction outside of ourselves. That would mean that a student at large would be subject to no portion of our constitution or bylaws if they were not a portion of Senate, including the definition of a student at large. Third, more, that if we accept that the student at large is not a Senate position, then I think this brings with us the consequence of that then there are two ways to interpret this, and this is something that we talked about. That the student at large could take supremacy over their ability to run for election, meaning that the entire election that Delaney held would have been invalidated because she could not have stood for election as a student at large. Which is an even larger problem or more problem making. And the point was never to target Speaker Sweet, but merely raised that we have the problem of someone in a position with a dual interest. If you're on the elections committee that oversees the election that you get elected under, whether or not in this case it went poorly, that is a recipe for disaster, as rules can be manipulated, changed to their advantage, and while I wholeheartedly agree she did not benefit from it this time, we can't deal in the direct personal case, but instead must take a look at the position that was taken and the potential fallout from it. Did it go as worse as it could have? No. But to not say what you did was wrong is also an issue, because if we don't acknowledge that the action that was taken was wrong, then we're not telling anyone in the future to not do this, which is a very large problem, because then we allow for increased manipulation of our election system in elections. So, no, I don't think you did anything wrong, Speaker Sweet, as far as you trying to gain advantage for yourself. But to not denounce what happened is to say this is right. And I could never support that in ethics. Thank you very much, Aya.
Speaker Sweet?
One, I would just like to reiterate the fact that if our Constitution says that a student at large is not a formal part of Senate, therefore, and committees aren't considered a part of the Senate body, and so therefore, a formal resignation wasn't necessary, and also the timing wasn't necessary. It was a matter of like an hour. You know, so it was a conversation. It wasn't like me meditating, I feel like I'm being manipulated into this power-hungry person, which I am not. And so it's just like, it wasn't like I was sitting there stewing like, what can I do next? Like, it was just like thinking like, how can I commit to the student body best? And that is what my decision ultimately was. And I have no administrative director to go to. I'm familiar with the bylaws and the constitution, and I did not see anything wrong with what I did. And I am an inherently good person. If I thought I did anything wrong, I would be torn to shreds by it. And I was fairly elected into this position. And if there was another student at large, and the fact that I was conveyed to whoever raised this ethical position as a student at large to the committee, that's where the error happened, because I wasn't. I never went to a committee meeting. I didn't do anything to do with that committee other than have a conversation with Chair Panzer. There was nothing outside of that. So whatever happened as far as like the manipulation of my involvement with the committee, that all happened within the election committee. I had no part in that. And I want to go back to something that Jonas said. This is seriously type of deal. Like, although I appreciate the practice for law school, I don't necessarily think that this needs formal censure, and that's not speaking on my behalf. If this happened to anyone else, I would say the exact same thing. And I just think that, I don't know. I have some more articulate to say, but I will.
I just have a couple quick things to add. I'm going to remain unbiased as possible here. One, to say to the previous speaker, no rules can be changed or manipulated by the elections committee. The election process is pretty well planned out in the constitution bylaws, and we have set rules that need to be followed. I just encourage everybody to vote on how you feel the constitution and bylaws represent this situation right now at this time. And then lastly, as I see our speakers let's continue, I just urge you to be careful about just repeating things that have already been said. If you have something to add, feel free, but if it's already been said, then let's keep moving along. With that, Chair Singapore.
So I'm just a little bit confused about something that someone previously stated about this constitution and bylaws not applying if we choose to say that a student at large is not a member of the Senate, that it wouldn't apply to them at all. There's nothing really in the constitution or the bylaws that would pertain to student at large besides the definition of student at large, which is very general and vague. It's just saying any student that's not a senator or looking to be a senator. So that's just our definition for our purposes for student senate. And that's all I have to say. Yeah.
Senator Hinkamp?
See, I have only a few things left to say, but I honestly believe that our speaker is being used as an example rather than this actually being a very hard line problem that could cause bloodshed and mass chaos. And so with that, I will say that on behalf of my constituency, I will be voting this down, and I would like to call the question because I see no further reason.
Second question called. We'll take a two-thirds vote. I'm going to not call a question. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions? The question has been called. Just to be perfectly clear, right now we are voting. If you vote in the affirmative, you are voting to censor Speaker Sweet as recommended. If you vote against the motion, then you will be voting to not censor as recommended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions?
Stay.
The recommendation fails. So that is the end of that. Thank you for the wonderful discussion. We'll move forward to our next item on new business, which is a bylaw proposal coming from Ethics Committee.
All right. First, I'm actually extremely impressed with how civil the discussion remained in that. And I thank everyone for having this discussion. And I think that it was very beneficial. And given that, I will move forward into our new recommendation. One of the things that was suggested by, was mentioned by Co-President Panzer when he spoke about voting grounding the situation as something, a solution so that the same issue doesn't arise again. It would be under Article 3 in the bylaws, under election committee duties, and it would go on Clause 6, which would read, any member who has served on the election committee cannot run for an office during the same semester in which the member served on the committee. This erases this potential gray area that ethics saw. Like we mentioned, when all of this was discussed, it was a gray area. This is something that ethics determined was something worth talking about, worth bringing to the floor, and this is our other proposal in this situation.
So due to a kind of weird sentence in our constitution, for lack of a better way to put it, any bylaw proposals need to be voted to consider them during the meeting which they are presented. So this is being presented to the Senate body. We will have a vote on whether or not to consider this proposal next week. If it's voted to consider, we'll have a discussion about it next week and then vote it through or down. So right now, before we have that vote, I'll simply open up the floor for questions. If you have any questions about the bylaw, why it's being proposed, anything, just questions. Senator Loon?
Would you be able to include wording for a formal process of accepting a resignation for election committee members? I feel like that would be potentially missed with the wording that is currently there.
So our concern with having it be, are you talking in the version or in the situation where someone on the election committee decides that they would like to run for the position and then formally resign from the election committee to then run for the position? Is that what you're talking in reference to?
That, but more specifically, a more formal acceptance process, so that like you can't just give a verbal thing, but then, you know, based off like yes in passing, all of a sudden you're not able to run for office. I don't know. That just seemed a little jilted in my eyes.
Yeah. So that would go under a constitutional amendment, which has to do with election committee. The reason why we went with bylaw is because. Or this specific suggestion for a bylaw is because we think that it solves the gray area that was brought up this whole hullabaloo. I'll yield.
Yeah, when we had this discussion, the main point was if you run for student at large for this semester, you can't run for an office. So we're eliminating, even if you resign or not, it's not going to matter anyways. For that term you're running for. So that's what we went for. Okay. So we don't be in that gray area for like you did resign or you didn't resign.
Then as far as like the acceptance process, I'm just ignoring that. Would that be more formal going forward or continue to be the more informal, like would you like to be on this? Yes, no. Like that's where I see a potential gray area.
So the issue with the fall election committee, which was brought forward, is the concern of typically the election committee after the fall election is comprised of ethics committee. The Senate did appoint ethics student at large, or they accepted the suggestion for the student at large, which is the typical formal process. It's just fall election is a weird, weird time.
Okay.
So.
All right. I appreciate you clearing that
up.
I yield.
Senator Hamkar?
Yeah, I just want to be painfully clear with the wording of any member. So the member, by definition, in the Constitution would be both at large and co-president.
So
I just want to make sure that's painfully clear.
So any member who has served on the election committee, I suppose in that sense, when we wrote it, we were considering member to be someone who is serving on the election committee, which includes the student at larges, which are put there. If you read in our constitution, it lists students at large as a member of the election committee. So So that's where, as a member of the committee, that's where that definition of.
Okay.
I can understand where, like,
yep,
what you're saying, and how there could be a flaw in that. And my point to you in that is, if you see an issue with that, after the consideration, you if it is considered to bring forth an amendment, which can be discussed on the wording.
Yep.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure that was questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Andrews.
My question has been answered. I yield.
Jonas.
So, if the ombudsperson, for example, if the class representative position for the ombudsperson came open mid-semester, and there was some support for the idea that the ombudsperson was the best person to represent the class, or the only person to represent the class, or whatever, and the ombudsperson wanted to resign from the position of ombudsman, woman, that person still would not be allowed to run for class representative under this bylaw. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And the concern we saw with that is just the fact that there is the potential for exactly what we discussed of there being a deliberate decision where it would be Senate. It could potentially be kind of seen as under the table dealing with just kind of like, hey, you should run for this position. Just we saw it as an issue of gray area, and just to keep this issue from coming up again, this is our suggestion.
And then the power that we're trying to divest from the elections committee is what exactly?
I don't understand.
I just don't understand why, like.
So I guess the concern for us was that typically elections committee would potentially have access to applications, would have the chance to know no one is running for this position, you should run for it because, hey, it's an open position that no one's put an application in for yet. And then the issue becomes that person was given an advantage because they, being on elections committee, were privy to that information in comparison to the rest of the student body, which was not.
But in practice, has the elections committee ever actually served in any of that capacity?
The
ombudsperson, yep, and the co-presidents, yep, but like, I don't know that.
This is also election committee becomes, when it becomes ethics committee, is also what we were considering. This is not just to fall elections, and I think that's where a lot of people's minds are going, but this is talking of all elections going on. So that means that I could resign now if, say, one of the positions came open. I couldn't resign and then go take up that position because I liked it more. And I would be knowledgeable that there was no one running for that position prior to other people.
And just to make sure that I don't misunderstand, the vast majority of our elections happen with the fall election committee, right?
Yes, the vast majority do happen with the fall committee.
So that's maybe
currently, but that was before the change of midterm vacancies. With the change from the constitution to the constitution with midterm vacancies now being a vote in, that then brings up more positions, which would be people would be eligible to run for and be voted on.
But probably still not more than we have vacancies that happen in fall election.
No.
Yeah. I guess my point is just like great for us to think about both elections, but let's not lose track of the fact that the one that's really important is the election of the senators in the fall. Yield.
This was a perfect segue into my question. So, anyone on the now that we have midterm votes for vacancies, and then we also have the co-presidential election in the spring, an ombudsperson can never run for co-presidents. I mean, it's technically the election.
No, and technically, an open ombudsperson would never run for that because they're the chair of the election committee. So, them stepping down right before election committee would result in there being no leader of the election committee to put together the run for co-president. That would have to be a position that would also be appointed, which would, speaking as someone who ran the co-president, who was in charge of election committee last year during the co-presidential situation, co-presidential election, pardon me, no, the ombudsperson would not be able to ever run for the co-president if, in that situation, if they thought in December that they wanted to run for the co-president, they could step down in the fall semester and then run for the co-presidency, which takes place in the spring semester. But they would not be able to, going into the spring semester on the first day of spring semester, which is when the co-presidential election process is announced and started, they would not be able to submit a resignation and then go run for that position. And I would also be very concerned about the ombudsperson stepping down from their position of chair of the election committee right before a big election. That would, yeah.
So then also, if say, I hate to get into like hypotheticals, but like say the student at large and election committee could have been starting to do it in the fall again, and they get back in the fall and they're like, man, like I really want to run this time. They can't do it because they resigned in the fall.
Because they resigned, okay. Then no, given this current wording for it, it would not be able to do that.
And also if they tried to resign over the summer, there's technically no Senate to need to announce the formal resignation, so they couldn't do that.
Technically at that point, the cabinet is formed and there are voting members on the cabinet, and typically there would be an administrative director who they could issue that resignation to. So at that point, Senate is being served as by cabinet, so I would suppose that a student at large could resign over the summer because there is a part of Senate that is formed that has voting power.
Are we moving into discussion after this or not?
It'll be discussion on whether or not to
consider it for next week, in which case next week, if it's considered, any amendments can be made to it. I suppose that also wasn't made clear when we talked about it. Do you
want to
go over that, or should?
Yeah, again, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but if there's any confusion, after questions are done, we'll have discussion on whether or not there's merit to discussing this next week and voting on next week. So if you vote yes tonight, then we'll actually be discussing next week. It's kind of a weird situation.
Sure.
But.
And within that, if you see that there is, when we talk about merit, if you see the potential for an amendment to what is up there that you think would better suit it, then voting to consider it would still bring it up. You would be able to voice that amendment and have it be changed and worded or voted on by the Senate to reword the bylaws, but that's only if it is considered. If it is not considered, then it is not brought up for discussion next week for amendments to what the wording and language of it says.
And I apologize, it'd be 2 weeks because we want to meet next week.
Couple things. So, in reference to something that Free Speaker said way a bit ago, Elections Committee does decide like media that may be used. Yes.
Well, it's explained in the bylaw and constitution.
Sorry.
Just want to make sure that we're on the same track. Okay.
Just asked a question.
Okay.
The use of, or the allowed use of social media and everything is defined in the Constitution bylaws, but I guess the Elections Committee would be the interpreters of that.
And that did happen in this past case.
Correct.
So one could take that as Election Committee does monitor and interpret the rules of the election, which could say a person didn't use Facebook.
Jermaine?
Well, I just promised that I aligned where this is going.
Good question?
Yeah, I am leading up to a second question, yeah. So, would it be fair to say
Vitish.
I have a few things. It's more just out of... It was something Speaker Sweet said, where for someone to be a member of the election committee and resign during the summer and give it to the administrative director, the ombudsperson said that they could do that because the cabinet was meeting, but the Constitution says that you do, then there needs to be a full meeting of the Senate, and that happens on Monday night with a quorum. Is that piecing this together?
Yeah, no. And I understand what your line of question was, and that was just my spot interpretation of a hypothetical.
Mm.
It's not to say that that's how that situation
would unfold,
yes. But it was a hypothetical posed and then a hypothetical.
Okay. I didn't mean anything by it. I just didn't
understand it,
so I wanted to try to clarify it. But I haven't found exactly what I was looking for yet either, so I'll yield.
Co-President Panzer.
This is somewhat of a point of order, I suppose, but moving forward with this discussion as we're voting to consider, could you make a recommendation for how you want senators to come next time? Like, should they come with, like, amendments and recommendations?
Yes. So if this gets voted to consider and you have something that any wording in here that you do not agree with that you wish to amend, our suggestion is to come with it written out so that it can be brought up to the technologies chair so that she, when the amendment is brought up, can easily write out what you want the amendment to be. That's if this is considered, but that is the best process for which to go about if you see merit behind it but don't agree with where it is directed. If that makes sense.
Do we have any more questions on the proposed bylaw? Any further questions? Seeing none, we will move into debate on whether or not we will consider this proposed amendment in 2 weeks. So, you know, we're not discussing whether or not this is the perfect amendment or this should be, this is the perfect addition to our bylaws and thing. It's just whether or not there's merit in discussing this in 2 weeks, at which time there could be amendments or anything, or even voted down. So, discussion. Senator Hinkamp.
I think, after having previous discussions, I think there is merit in considering this. So I would recommend that this go through, because we can hash it out later, especially some of the points that perhaps need to be fixed. But yeah, I think this is a good idea to be considered. However, I'd also say that it should also be considered again by the Ethics Committee, but that's totally not germane. So, yield.
Any further discussion?
I personally don't find merit in this because I believe to make it something that would benefit our bylaws, we would need an entirely different. We would amend the hell out of that, and I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that we should start fresh with something a little different.
Senator Dix?
I personally think there's great merit in bringing this forward within 2 weeks to discuss on it. Just the fact that it's generated so much issue both here and in the Ethics Committee, that there is some gray area that needs to be solved. I do think this targets a large swath of that and does away with it. I yield.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move on to the vote. I'm going to consider this proposed bylaw 2 weeks from today. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions? And proposal to passes. So we'll have that discussion in 2 weeks. I would strongly recommend that if you have amendments in mind, it's very difficult on the floor to bring those forward verbally. So before then, I would recommend you write those down. If you want to send out to senators and say, hey, I think this would be a great change, I want you to look at this, then you can do that. But definitely be thinking about it before. Thank you. With that, we will move back into new business, and that's all we have on the agenda for new business, so open the floor for any further new business. Chair Dickey?
So we are working on a bringing forward a budget for the Teachers with Us for Lunch program that maybe some of you are familiar with. If you're not familiar with it, we can talk about what it is. So I just encourage others to get the feedback before the next Sunday meeting so that we, when we start going through that budget process, we can, when we bring forward that budget, we can move through it some days.
Senator Empey's?
Yes, during the office hours today with me and two other senators, we came across some suggestions for impact, particularly in how waste is disposed of, well, how extra food is disposed of. The complaint was that many a lot of food that is perfectly good being thrown away, so I moved to charge Health and Housing to look into ways that we can potentially give this out to the charities and such in the area.
Okay, we have a motion to charge Health and Housing Committee to look into the way the cap is supposed to be food and looking into different avenues of what better use we made of that, correct?
Yes.
Do we have a second to the charge? We have a second, so we'll enter your discussion. Senator, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
Senator Gladish?
Just a question for people that were on Senate last year. Didn't we have something like a questioning line similar? I may be mistaken, but I vaguely remember something like this. So we might already have an answer.
As the previous Health and Housing Chair, I don't recall this item.
I yield to this.
From last year.
All
right. Yeah, so I believe
two years ago,
yeah, we ran into this discussion, and I believe the answer came out to be that it wasn't.
I think it was connected to the complexities of how a food shelf can or cannot accept food that's already prepared and already made, but you know, that doesn't mean that you can't all go back and relearn what the statutes of the state of Minnesota are around food donation.
Yeah, I wasn't speaking out like against this. I just had some vague memory of something like this. I yield.
Senator Louie?
I guess it's more of a question, but isn't the food that is disposed of in the cap used towards compost for the Big Hill Farm on campus? Therefore, it's already being kind of used to provide food in a less direct sort. But again, going back to the, there are very distinct and severe restrictions on like the ability to give the food shelves once it's out of packaging. So I would actually not personally, not super for this, just because it already is being utilized in what I see as a pretty efficient manner. I yield.
Any further discussion on charge? Further discussion? Senator Hicks?
In reference to the previous speaker, I think they brought up a really good point in that it does seem to be already in use, and it doesn't seem like we'll be able to do much with this charge. It would most likely just take up time in committee, which already means about not a lot of it. I yield.
Any further discussion? Further discussion on charge? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote on charging Health and Housing looking to dispose of cat food with the opportunity and possibility of giving to different charities. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions? The charge fails. So we'll move back into new business. Senator Matthews, you still have the floor? Senator Matthews? Do we have any further new business? Any further new business? Further new business? Senator Dix?
This too will be a charge to Health and Housing. It's kind of my own thing. I'm sick about getting asked about where I get my PC. I've been asked in the past 2 days 9 times if I got it on campus. And in the past week, over 15 times if I got it on campus. I think this shows that there's a lot of interest in peace tea on campus, as this is just me bringing it to class. So if Health and Housing could look into if we could get some peace tea on campus, that would be wonderful. I am a generous partaker of peace tea, but apparently also are my students that I work with on a daily basis, or at least they care very much about where I get my own. I'm going to draw an inference that it's more about where they can get their own.
Okay, there's more to go forward with. Second, we will make a discussion on whether or not to charge Calvin Collier and to look into getting peace on campus. Kind of takes you to the floor.
Yeah, as I said, basically, I have seen remarkable interest in PST and figure that if people care that much, maybe we should get it.
Being on the committee with you and the next speaker, if we're looking into the possibility of Chipotle Mayo for dressing, and if this has at least seems to have more interest than that, sure, I yield.
Yeah, it seems valid, yeah. So I would say, yes, this is a good charge. However, I also like other teas, like Arnold Palmer. But anyway, I guess this seems fine, but this is also something that I believe health and housing will eventually just go to the kitchen cabinet for again, and so it's, I don't know, it seems like just another whirlwind tour of Chipotle Mayo all over again. Oops, sorry, out of order. I yield.
Any further discussion on the charge of housing? Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move on to a vote on whether or not to charge Calvin Collier into looking into getting peace tea on campus. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
So charged.
I yield.
Any further in business? Further new business? San Martinez?
I was outside the table today, and one of the constituents came up to me and said if we could do anything about the extra money that's left on some cafeteria account, and they were wondering whether we could like meet or whether they could like choose a charity and donate that money towards the charity or.
Yeah, so we actually do have a, so during, towards the end of each month, there will be bags of food that you can donate to the local food shelf with your CAF money, so we do something like that. Obviously, if you want to look into something else, that would be great, but we do have a policy of you can use up your CAF money for.
All right. So I'll just give you the floor.
You the floor?
Yeah.
Any further new business? Further new business? Seeing none, we'll move on to announcements. President Panzer.
First off, the tabling seems to be going really well. Today there were a lot of suggestions. Last week I know it was slower, but we just want to keep hearing your feedback on that. Again, it'll be reevaluated next semester. But we just, so far it seems like we are generating a lot of comments that are mainly being sifted through the cabinet, but tonight we generated 12 student concerns, which I think is great, and look forward to digging through those. On a similar notice of deciding what projects and initiatives to take on, we've had a lot of great charges come to the floor. This was not an issue tonight, but I think one useful kind of framework just coming out of cabinet last week, we had a few charges where we felt like we were kind of a bit like locked into a certain course of action that given new information might not have been the most prudent for what the charge was supposed to be getting at. So we encourage you when you're making charges to think about how to balance focus on a topic with flexibility so that the proper action and feedback can be progressed with. So just balance focus, flexibility in a way that's productive, but also keeps everybody on the true intent of what your charge is. Another point. Bobby and I met with Becky last Thursday as part of our regular meetings for once a month. So just moving forward, always feel free to bring up concerns. We pretty much relay all the biggest topics that come before this body. And then she also shares kind of what's happening at her level. A lot of great things happening regarding international student retention. And then also there's a lot of kind of mindfulness of what's happening with environmental certifications for both new buildings and then renovating buildings. So they're being mindful to see what the certification statuses can be. So it is a balance of resources with the optimal status, but it's something that they're considering for all the current and upcoming renovations. Another note, in regards to the bylaw process that we get before in 2 weeks, please get those suggestions to us as soon as possible. The technologies director and I will be looking through the suggestions so that we can potentially merge some of them. So if two senators have a similar amendment that they want to bring forward and have on the screen, if we can get them to work together so we can kind of have an efficient way to move through that process, because there will be several different directions we want to amend that all in. And with that, have an awesome fall break. Be safe, be productive, rest up and all that. And keep thinking about, you know, as you're with your friends and families, just keep your eyes on how you want to amend that bylaw. That's what really matters.
Senator Gladish?
I just wanted to speak out in favor of the Chipotle mayo pump. And I felt like this is the best place to do it. On a more serious note, I thought we all did a really good job about when we were talking about the censoring thing. I think that was really well done, and I just want to thank everybody involved that it didn't get nasty. It could have easily gotten nasty, but it didn't, and I'm really glad that it went well. I yield.
Senator Haberman?
On October 31st, there's the Men and Women Conference Cross Country Race. Please come and, like, support us if you're into supporting obscure sporting events. I yield.
I also appreciated the discussion tonight. So snap to that. Another point is that you can always snap when you agree with someone. You don't have to reiterate everything says, but you can snap. So that's like a good way to gauge where, like, everybody is when we're, like, thinking about what we're discussing. I also wanted to bring up a point that we request that everyone say a previous speaker, because you don't want to call anybody out. And by saying the previous speaker, you're calling out the previous speaker. So let's avoid that and just keep it general so that your points are being made without targeting what somebody has said or their viewpoint.
Chair Schmitz?
A few things to announce. Just first, like, the wall from City Center from Barbara View, Center of the Club. So welcome. Happy to stay around today. Number two, with the proposed amendment, I put the name earlier, but now just kind of looking at the election committee as a whole. One thing that stuck out to me was, like, this elections committee formed in the spring to work in the fall, and if so, that's a lot of time for them to. Okay, well, yes. Look over your constitution bylaws and thinking about tonight and stuff. And third, it's getting colder out. Fall break coming up, I'm sure. Go home, see friends, just make sure you're safe. And I yield.
Congresswoman Stenson.
All right, so like a previous speaker said, I would like to thank everyone so much for having a well thought out and civil conversation, and that is all that we can ask when something of an issue or something that can be a little bit of an issue comes up. The best way to talk about that is civil, and I cannot say enough how much I appreciate all the discussion that occurred. I will also be sending out the language for the bylaw so that everyone can have the language, so that on fall break, when I'm sure everyone is taking time to think back about Senate, they can look over the wording for that. And then my last thing that I'm going to say is when we are abstaining from votes, that shouldn't typically be just because you don't wish to vote on something. It is your job to represent and therefore vote, so make sure that you aren't abstaining just because you don't want to vote. If you don't want to vote, or if you don't think that it's something that is important, then you vote no. If you think it is important, then vote yes, but try to refrain from abstaining from a vote unless you can see a personal bias or some sort of issue like that in it. And I hope everyone has, I wish everyone luck on midterms that they have leading up, and I also hope that everyone has a restful fall break, because I sure know that I need it. And with that, I yield.
Okay, all of my thunder has kind of been stolen. I'm going to go through it in my own way. Of course, I'm very glad that we finally have a representative from our review, so congratulations again. I apologize that that process took so long. It was just a new system. Second, Sam talked about our Amigo Peasant program. I just want to reiterate, there were a couple things that senators want us to bring up to the Board of Trustees members, and we didn't get to. And so specifically, like the buildings, that's something we were able to bring up to her, and just wanted to reiterate again that President Bergman is considering or planning on notifying the students on as much information on stuff like that as she can. So we're working on really getting an understanding of what's being worked on so the students understand what's going on. So again, if you have anything that you want us to talk about in the future, please feel free. And finally, the sensory conversation again, hit me up again, but I thought it was going to be a nightmare to share that conversation, just having no experience with it and kind of the nature of it, and it went a lot more than I've ever imagined, so thank you all for that. That was handled very well, and that's all I have. So, Chair Swenson.
I will be sending out an email hopefully tonight, so look for that. One of the projects that PR Committee is working on is getting Meet Your Senator little things. We don't really know if they're going to be yet in all of the POs. So it'll be, I'm asking for like a little bio from you guys. You just have to fill in the blanks and then a picture. So if you would respond back to me as soon as possible, that would be wonderful.
Darren Venable.
So great discussions, awesome, love it. Only thing would be, I know it can be tempting to get a little liberal use of language out there. I would just like to remind that we are an elected body and that we should keep our word usage civil.
So besides, quick remember why. Anyway, so one thing, October 31st is also a pretty cool day because that's when the FBSNL is, so people should come to the FBSNL. Anyway, besides that, Park of the PLA obviously happens every Monday, and I know I'm going to find the thing that I actually meant to and not. No, it's not coming to me. Never mind, just kidding. Thank you all for being smiling.
Jonas?
You spent a good quality hour tonight engaging with each other about how you want this body to work. It was very inwardly reflected. I'm really enthusiastic about the idea that in the weeks ahead you'll spend that kind of good quality time also reflecting outward to think about how you can serve your constituents as well as yourselves.
Any further announcements? The announcements? Announcements? Seeing none, seeing none.